This is Scott.
This is Pat.
We got a great program for you. It's graduation time.
We're going to talk a little bit about student loans.
Yep, and what young adults need to be thinking about right now when it comes to finances and investing and whatnot.
We're also going to answer some questions about market timing and a great guest, Janet Bodner from Kiplinger's.
Yes, and author of a couple of books, one on raising money smart kids. So you want to stick around for this week's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Answering your top financial questions for the past 20 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you are here with us on this middle of May as we come and talk to you about financial issues. Both myself and my co-host here, we are both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself and come here on the weekends to be your advisor on the air. So whether you're listening to us live on one of our radio programs or listen to a podcast, we're glad you're here with us. But we've got, I don't know, what do we have, 16,000 or so people on our podcast right
now? On the
now,
podcast,
and
yeah.
And growing every week, so.
And the weekly emails that we send out that have clips from the radio show.
I don't know how many thousands are going out then. Free, though, too. HansonMcLean.com, yeah. You can get that. Anyway.
Easy.
Easy peasy. We're excited you're here today. It is that time of year when most of us are getting announcements for graduation, for
our friends,
or college, yes. Family members.
Do you have anyone graduating, Scott?
I don't. Do you?
I do. I have a senior in high school graduating.
Number three.
Oh, we're almost. It's just a couple more years. Empty nesters.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Being an empty nester?
Yeah. I have no idea how I feel about that.
Yeah, well.
Because I don't think it's really ever empty. They have a tendency to recycle back in.
Yes, I will agree with you on that. And they tend to have, the needs get larger, it feels.
Yes. So, but anyway.
Because I got two college kids.
He is, he's graduating. He's going to University of California, Los Angeles is the school he selected.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, UCLA.
It's hard to get in.
I have four children. It was bound to happen.
That's funny. In any case, this program, we're going to talk about young adults and graduation. And so whether you've got kids that are young adults or you're a grandparent with someone come up with young adults, we're going to talk about some of those issues. We'll talk a little bit about student loans, talk about how a kid can set themselves up in the right path.
Talk about what you should be talking about with your child about saving and investing and just kind of their outlook on money because it's important.
Yeah. And of course, we'll take your calls regarding other financial topics. I'd love to take your calls. And if you want to join the program, you simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. That will get you on Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And let's start off talking with John. John, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
What can we do for
you? I was sure the stock market was going to go down about a year ago, and I sold about $300,000 worth of my wife's 401k, and it's sitting in a money market fund.
What did you do with your 401k?
It was my wife's money.
I know, right?
And by the way, in a community property state, depending on length of marriage, it's only titled in your wife's name. It's not all
that's
her
right.
money.
But so oftentimes you do need some power of attorney for him to make.
Oh, that is correct.
Anyway, continue on, John. So you sold was that like the entirety of the 401k? Do you have other assets? Was that all your retirement savings?
We have about $2.2 million total.
Okay.
Of which $1.2 million is equity in real estate we bought in the downturn.
Okay.
And then we have about $600,000 in a self-directed IRA. And about $150,000 in a managed IRA.
Okay. And so.
That's the total.
So you have seven. So what caused you? What led you to believe the market was going to fall and to liquidate half of the IRA? And had you ever done this before?
Well, very good question. So in 2005, 2005 and 2006, I sold when the interest rate inversion happened. I sold it at 11.8 in December of 2005, and then I sold at 12.4 in December of 2006.
Okay.
And then I got back in 2009 at about 9,000.
So you had success time in the market previously.
Yeah.
No, it's a funny thing here, right? So, you know, it's interesting, John, there's been a lot of studies and there's great academic articles and stuff on this, on can somebody actually outperform the market? Can some outsmart it, right? Or those that have been able to, has that just been pure luck?
And have they been able to do it consistently?
Just like you get enough guys in a room that are flipping quarters and the guy says, I'm going to hit heads, and someone hits heads 10 times in a row.
It's a statistical aberration.
Yes. But it's still within the realm of statistical probabilities.
Yes, but correct.
Yes.
So your question for us is what? Now that you're out,
my question to you is, I've been sitting on the sidelines with 300,000 and watching the market go up about 17% in the last year, 8 or 9 months, and I don't know what to do. Should I?
And we saw earnings. Boy, earnings have come in really well for the S&P 500 companies too. So earnings are fairly strong.
So was the money?
What led me to believe I should get out? And basically, it was simply the length of the economic expansion. I thought it was getting a little long in the tooth.
Yep, it is.
I didn't have any data to support it. It was more of an emotional decision.
Well, you probably did have some data to support it. Actually, I would argue you probably did use data, but the challenge is financial markets can run much longer than anyone can guess. So
because over the short term, financial markets are there's a ton of emotion in it
and momentum
and momentum. And over the long term, it's fundamentals that actually drive long-term rates of return in any asset class. Any asset class, it doesn't matter. There are some underlying fundamentals. And if you don't believe that, tell me why the stock market is so much more, has done so much better since the election of Donald Trump. Nothing fundamentally changed. Only people's outlook of the market changed under Donald Trump.
Yes.
Right?
They're more optimistic.
They're more optimistic.
Some people, that's emotion.
Yeah, some people. And I'm not either saying it's a good thing with Donald Trump or a bad thing. I have my own opinions. And someday, if you want to meet me personally, I will share them with you. So what do you do?
What do you think you should do?
Yeah, that's the question.
Well, look, as an overall percentage of your portfolio, it's not a huge percentage, right? But still, I've got 300,000 sitting in cash. Cash is great for money that's needed within a year or two. It's perfect for that. And if you think back, you talked about how you sold out of the stock market in 2006 and 2007. I think those are the years. You still would have done just fine had you just held throughout the downturn.
Oh, correct. You would.
You'd be further ahead today. Because you had success there and you thought it was a repeatable thing. So you moved out of cash and you've missed that run up. Had you just, ignored it all the last decade, you might have been further ahead than you are today.
So what do you do?
Well, and it's interesting. I had the same feeling in 06. I sold in the end of 05 and the end of 06 at 11.8 and 12.4. And, of course, as you know, the market went up to 14.2, I think.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there sort of going, boy, what an idiot am I. And then, of course, it crashed to 6, and I got back in at 9. So part of me says,
but you factor in the thing you just did a year ago,
and the fact that you actually ignored dividends on that the whole time as well when you were out of the market.
Fair, you're right.
Right.
And the dividends as a percentage as the market was falling were actually fairly high up there. So that's not that's all behind us now. What do you do now? I'd go back in with half of it, and I wouldn't actually do this again.
Or do a dollar cost average approach.
Do a dollar cost average approach.
Put it back in over the next 12 months or 24 months.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Or whatever the right allocation is. I don't know.
How old are you, John?
62. I'll be 63 in a couple months.
And when do you think you're going to spend this money?
Well, we have a plan. We have a retirement plan. And we also have a get out of jail free card because my wife will get a PERS retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know if working for the state should be or the government should be identified as that. I'd build an allocation. If you were in my office, I'd build an allocation.
Yeah. So you ask what we would do. What we would do is build a proper allocation to begin with and not worry about the market cycles, because we don't believe we can predict the market cycles.
We're not that smart.
We don't believe anybody.
Apparently are you. So I would build an allocation and stick with it. And I'd probably, given what little I know about you now, I'd probably do something around a 60-40 or 70-30, a growth and income strategy.
Yeah, but I think maybe going forward, John, when you're having some of these feelings, rather than getting all in or all out, maybe just reduce
a little bit. A little.
Because there's certainly times I think it makes sense. You know, if you're typically 70% stocks, then, well, maybe I'll be 50% right now. Or that sort of thing. I think that approach like that might work a little better for you. But appreciate the call, John. And it reminds me, Pat, John Paulson was a big hedge fund guy who accurately predicted the housing market and made a fortune.
Yes.
Betting against.
But.
Right. So he made a fortune, got famous. I don't know. He's the guru. And then he's had some tremendously huge stumbles since then.
On gold. He lost a ton on gold and oil as well. Yes.
Just, you couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah. But he was right. Right? He was right one time.
But if your investment approach, it's interesting because I did a workshop this week. And I spent a little time talking about this. I presented the workshop, a workshop in Granite Bay, California, earlier this week. And I was talking about this very thing, about if your investment strategy is to predict when to get in and when to get out.
You're going to be right one time in a row or wrong a bunch of times in a row.
That's just, I mean, it's a very...
Because over the short periods of time... There's so much emotion in the market. There's fear. There's greed. There's momentum. There's excitement over whatever political, right?
Yep.
Tribe that you actually belong to. Is it okay to call them tribes, political tribes?
I don't care. You can call them whatever you want.
Okay. Huh? I'm going to call it a tribe. There we go. Political
tribe. It might be offensive, though, to the Native Americans.
I would agree with that. I apologize.
And we probably should have had a trigger warning before you even mentioned that.
I don't even know what a trigger warning is.
Your college-age students will.
Oh, is that right? A trigger warning.
Anything that might be offensive, they'll let them know ahead of time.
Is that right?
Be careful here, because there might be something that causes offense.
And they call it a trigger warning.
You don't want to upset the feelings of our young
people. Come on.
Anyway, to join Hanson McLean, if you want to be part of the radio program, 1-888-2-HANSON's the number, 1-888-2-HANSON.
You talked about doing the workshops. We have workshops coming up in Denver and San Francisco. Now would be the time to talk about those. That's a nice radio segue.
Okay.
As we like to say
in the business. Yeah, because this last week we had them throughout Sacramento area, had great success. A lot of people attended. I think everyone, we get high marks on them, so people tend to be liking them. So we've got them this coming week in the Bay Area, Northern California, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday in Amarillo, Palo Alto, Danville, and San Jose in the evenings during the week, midday on the weekends. And then in Denver, same thing, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, Colorado Springs, Cherry Creek, Broomfield, and Highlands Ranch. And on that Saturday in Highlands Ranch, midday, 11:15, Pat Woodward will be attending.
Woodard,
I'm sorry, KOA's
financial guy.
Pat Woodard, yes.
He will be attending and saying hello to all those that attend.
So if you want to be a caller on our program today, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Angie. Angie, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hi, Angie.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, it's our pleasure.
I have several questions. I'm going to be retiring or planning on semi-retiring in about 4 to 5 years. And... I'm pretty well diversified right now, but I want to know, I want to get some ideas on a direction that I need to go.
Okay.
Right now I have 2 condos that are paid off, a 1-bedroom and 2-bedroom that are rented.
And what town are those in?
Stockton.
Okay.
I'm in Stockton, close to Sacramento. I have 2 businesses. One is an insurance agency, which, I run full year. The other one is I do taxes from January through April. And then I also am invested in a transportation business, which I get paid monthly on that.
Wait, you only have 3 jobs?
I know.
What's wrong with you?
What kind of deadbeat is this?
What's wrong with you? 3 jobs? Yes. How old are you, Angie?
Yes, I'm 47.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
All right. And so you...
I'm 47.
You don't...
So I'm single.
Okay. Well, yeah, so far it's adding up. You... Yeah. don't work in the transportation business. You just own it. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. I gave some money up front, and the my brother-in-law is actually paying me back monthly on it. No, I didn't charge interest on it, though. It was just I gave him the money, and he's paying me back. I have no debt. I have no loans. I have no car payment. I pay myself an $1,800 a month salary. And from that, I actually pay my rent, my tithes, my insurances. I have life insurance. I have some stocks. I'm not too thrilled with that. I don't like the up and down about that. I have some gold and silver bars. I don't have a 401k. And I do have about $110,000 in the bank.
What do you think you should do?
Well, what I think that I should do is I should invest in another property. Because basically, if I can live within the $1,800 a month means, I would like to have something set up where if I were to semi-retire, what I invested in actually pays me up to $2,000 a month. I would like to buy more property. I'm really conservative with my money. I don't take vacations. I don't purchase things.
Andy, when did you buy these condos? And do you live in one of them?
No. I purchased one of them in 2013, and I paid $65,000 for it, and it's worth $100,000.
Okay.
Last year, I purchased one for $62,000, and that one's already up to $71,000. I do not live in them. I do rent an apartment. Literally a half a block from my job.
Got it.
Let me ask you. So your objective is to get to the point where you've got money coming in from other sources that pays your what your income needs are. So you go to work because you want to work, not because you have to work.
Correct. Yes. Okay. So if I want to go on a mission trip and donate my time, or if I want to go to Starbucks and work 6 weeks, or if I want to, I want to primarily do the taxes January through May because
and
it
get
is
out of the insurance
day, 7 days a week.
So
and then yeah, manage that.
So I have a question. This life insurance that you own, why do you own it, and does it carry cash value inside of it?
No. I'm almost positive it's a term life.
Okay.
And I purchased this policy about 6 years ago. So to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know what it is. I know it's not a whole life.
You don't need life insurance.
Yeah, we're wondering why you have it.
You don't need it. You have no one.
Unless you have kids.
Other
you
than,
mentioned.
Do you have children?
I have 3 grown children, and I have 3 grandchildren.
You don't need the life insurance. You can have it.
Because you have these assets already.
Because you already have the assets, and no one's reliant upon you for your, you're not supporting anyone other than yourself. So the first thing I would do is I would actually buy a home to live in and not rent.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is.
Or a condo.
Something along those lines.
So she lives in an apartment today.
Yeah. A condo would be fine. You're comfortable living in an apartment. Mm-hmm. Because that is your inflation hedge for you going forward, because you could start this $2,000 a month and it might be fine for 3 or 4 or 10 years, but.
And how much is your rent?
$945 a month.
Yeah, you should absolutely.
Then you just save
$110.
Yeah.
You know, you can have property tax and maintenance. But with Pat, it's the inflation that's the danger, right?
Yes, correct.
So if you want to be in a position where you have true financial independence, you're about there, right? So you've got no debt. If you got some investments, some that are bringing in some income. I fully agree with Pat. If your roof over your head was paid for, that's less you have in expenses.
Yeah, money not going out is exactly the same as money coming in. So I would buy a place for you to live. That's the first thing I would do. I'd get rid of the life insurance. Okay. I'd sell the individual stock, and I'd buy the. I assume there's just a few thousand dollars.
How much do you have
in
the individual stock?
Oh. Just $500.
I think the real estate's the right thing for you. You have such experience in it. You know, you're not afraid of it. You're afraid of the stock market for whatever reason. I mean, if you want to get more comfortable with it and you spend some time in it, I think you can get there. But I don't know if it's necessary for
It's not like you have a big investment in the stocks. I'd just sell the stocks and move on. And I'd buy a house or a condo. And I'd plan on working until you're 65. Someone like you can't just quit working.
Yeah.
You just don't have it in you.
But I think there's something.
Well, and that's why. Yeah, they keep telling me, you know, what are you going to do when you don't work? Because I literally work at least anywhere between 16 and 19 hours a day.
Well, there's, you know, there's a middle.
I love what I
you
do.
You know, there's,
I love.
There's middle ground, right? It doesn't have to be all or nothing. But plan like you're going to retire, because if you plan like you will, you'll be able to.
And if you're in a position where it works an option, not an obligation,
it makes it easier.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I think it sounds like that's where you really want to get to the point, right?
So don't go talk to any financial advisor. Just go buy yourself a condo, move into the thing, try to pay it off as quickly as possible.
Yep. And, that's what I would do.
And continue on your life.
If assuming you needed to borrow some money there.
Alrighty.
Oh, yeah. No, I have enough to pay off another condo. The condos aren't terribly bad over here. And so pretty much paying it off cash is definitely a great deal.
Yep. And move into it. Buy something a little nicer than the ones you own now and move in and enjoy.
Yes. Wonderful.
Alrighty.
Oh, I love you guys. I really do. I appreciate you.
Well, that's kind of you.
I listen to you all the time that I drive to Sacramento.
Wow. Oh, well, thank you. All right. Say it one more time. I love hearing it.
I know. She sounds so sweet.
I know. And she mentioned tithing. She mentioned tithing.
I know. And Mission Chip is like an angel.
Angie the angel.
No, I do. And actually, I have to look at a different avenue because of the fact that I do give away so much of my money.
That's fine.
After tax season is over, my tithing is the first thing that goes out. My tithing is the first thing goes out. I do take very good care of my family, and that I think of others first.
Oh, that's nice.
I believe I'm blessed because of that. So, but no, I appreciate you both. I love you guys to death.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you so very much.
All right. We are on page with many of your beliefs.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. You take care. You have a great day, and thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Okay, thank you.
She's like gushing.
I know.
Wow.
I'm all red.
Well, I hope my wife's listening. That's the kind of attention I need here. I'm just kidding.
Sorry, Valerie.
I
am my wife. I never... Don't say nice things to me. That's what I tell her.
Your wife?
Yeah.
We just had our 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. Yeah. Why are you so beat up then?
What do you mean? I've got a coat on.
Like you were like moving your arm real slow. Did you fall or something? No, seriously.
25 years of being married to that one.
No, I'm kidding. No, what happened? You can like walked in the studio. You're like you're 90. Well, no, I shouldn't say that because I have some 90-year-old clients that are actually
walk
pretty
much
good
better
shape.
Than that. I had a little crash on my mountain bike earlier in the week.
You did? Yeah. Bad?
No, I'm here. I'm not paralyzed.
All right,
dead.
So hey, after the show, I'd like to meet with our CFO and talk about Key Man Insurance.
I often go out early in the morning. Actually, this time of year is spectacular because the wildflowers. And so my goal is to make sure at least once a week I'm out in Corona Ranch, which is the South Fork of the American River out in the middle of nowhere, the southern... portion of the Sierra Nevadas, which is stunning this time of year.
Yeah, it's in like the first foothills of the Sierra Nevada.
Yes, and it's a great little. No one's out there early in the morning, and
so for if you're a new listener to this show, Scott Hansen is one of these. You would probably call it an extreme athlete. So he does. How many triathlons have you done?
I don't know.
You ran the Western States 100, which is a 100-mile. Run in the Sierra Nevadas. Would that not be a little bit extreme? I'm just going to go out there on a limb
and say that's not normal.
It's just not normal to get up in the morning to ride 100 miles. Point? I'm telling the listeners who you are. And then that one time when the Yellowstone or something, you had to airlift it out. Was that Yellowstone?
Jackson Hole.
Okay. Well, we were close enough. I was in the right county.
So my leg's good now, though.
You get airlifted.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual for Mr.
Hansen. I do buy the helicopter insurance.
Do you really?
The rescue insurance.
See?
It's like $70 a year for the whole family.
Everyone should own it.
So I wasn't airlifted out this week. Just a little bruise and scrapes and no big deal.
So, in fact, on our website, I think we have pictures of you leading a blind runner on a marathon. Do we not?
Yes, I think we do.
Yeah.
What's that have to do with that?
I just really want to see what a little guy.
You play to your strengths.
You're like strong like a man.
As a kid, I was always the shortest, smallest kid in class, so I was last pick for the team. I don't want to hang Scott. You take Scott. No, you take Scott.
Now.
So I think there's a bit of me that it's trying to prove something.
Yeah, when you go to that elementary school with your kids, you're always picked first now.
Yeah, I'm pushing those other kids out of the way. No, anyway. don't know why we got off on that topic.
Anyway,
I apologize for that. And I'll be fine, by the way, the listeners, just a little scrapes and bruises.
Well, we're all
no big deal.
Comforted by that.
I know you're really worried about it. Anyway, we're going
to go to a break.
We're taking a quick break. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number. We'll still have time for a call or two. 1-888-2-HANSEN. And we'll talk about adult kids, colleges, all those things. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Taking the financially complex and making it simple. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSEN.
Yeah, that's right. And it's this time of year where people are graduating. We've got some of us have kids that are going through graduation, or we've got friends.
College graduation, high school graduation.
All those sort of things. So
I have these discussions with my children often about money, especially my oldest, who's a senior. He graduates in November. Do you have these discussions with your children about money?
What discussions?
Any discussions about money.
Yeah, actually, I actually had a discussion with my kid. My son, should I state that? My son is doing a French language immersion school.
Okay.
Because he's been studying French. It's 8 weeks in Nice, France.
Rough.
That's on the French Riviera, right?
Rough.
So we're having this discussion. I Skyped with him this past week. And because he's not working this summer because he's doing this language program.
Yeah. And he needs money.
And he was going to, he has some money saved. He was going to use for something. So we had the discussion we had that I said, look, I'll cover these other costs for you this summer. Next summer is your summer for working. So
what'd he say?
Well, he was thinking about doing some volunteer work next summer. Well, whatever. We'll see what
that yeah.
Whatever. Just do something productive.
Add value.
But here's the thing. Here's one of the things that's happening right now. As kids, we've got young adults that are choosing colleges. If you look at the amount of debt that people are taking on to send their kids to these universities.
Sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is hard to believe. The average student loan, I read this last week, person graduates from college is $30,000.
That's the average.
That's the average.
But if you actually look at some of these like for-profit schools, they can be higher than that.
Yeah, private schools, private four-year universities, much higher than
that. And we've seen here at Hanson McLean, we've seen people put their financial life in jeopardy to try to get their kid off to some four-year university. And frankly, we question the wisdom of that.
So
if you've got the assets, if you got it saved and your kid wants, great, that's wonderful.
But there's nothing wrong. I've spoken.
That's a luxury. It's not a luxury to go away to a four-year university.
I spoke at my high school 3 weeks ago on career day. Did I talk about this on the radio show? Did I talk about this last?
No.
I spoke at my high school a few weeks ago on career day. By the way, spoke for 3 classes. I wouldn't have made it through the end of the day. Phenomenally difficult. I could never be a teacher because at least at work, people pretend like they're listening to me.
Hey, you provide the paycheck.
I know. They actually, when I come in and talking, they're like,
really,
oh, that's
Pat.
Awesome.
Wow.
You're great, Pat. Ooh. But at this school, see, look at them in the booth. They act like they're listening.
Nice. Yeah, they laugh.
They're like shaking their heads.
That's so entertaining, Mr. McLean.
Oh, my gosh. You are witty. But in the high school, no attention to me whatsoever. I asked the question about how many people are going to go to school. And then we had the discussion about going to community college and then regular college, which many of my son's friends are doing. They go to 2-year community college and then they go to 2 years of the university. I think you did that, did you not?
Absolutely, I did. I didn't have any financial resources.
Yeah.
My parents, it was a little different back then.
It wasn't quite as expensive either.
Well, the government wasn't just throwing money like they do today.
You had no choice.
It is immoral, our government's program. I'm of the way we pass out these loans without ever seeing if the person's going to ever be able to repay them.
Without
there's no check whatsoever. And if a kid didn't qualify, those have the parent loans.
Yeah.
And the money gets you can't get rid of it through bankruptcy.
I use student loans.
They'll still.
Did you use student loans in college?
I didn't because I. Here's another irony. I had my own business. I had a little tree trimming business I had started. And
were you making too much money to get a student loan?
And I made too much money to get a student loan.
I actually took student loans.
I thought it was the irony of that. I said, wouldn't you want to loan money to people that are actually trying to make it?
I had a brokerage. I took all my money, student loans, and I had a brokerage account at Dean Witter. I had a stockbroker
Don't let your kids do that. By the way,
I had a stockbroker, Dean Witter. His name was Wayne Gillum. He was my stockbroker when I was in college, and I took all my student loans and invested in stocks. I don't think that was normal, though.
No.
And nor was it
the wise thing to do.
Yeah, but it turned out okay for me. I did well.
Well, here you are. I guess it was the right decision. 30 years later.
Look at me. See? Student loans?
So, in a case, it's at this college graduate, it's the high school graduation time. Don't feel you have to send your kid off to some college.
It's okay to go to community college.
Absolutely. I mean, wow.
It's okay to go to a local university and live at home.
No question. Yeah. If you don't have the financial resources, do you really want to go into Hawk?
It's okay not to go to college and actually to get a trade.
Absolutely, that is as well.
To get a trade. I have a brother that is in the trades and makes more money than most college graduates.
My sister's son didn't want to go to college. He loves surfing. He lives on the coast, surfs all the time. He was wanted to be an underwater welder. And she's trying to talk him into going to college.
I'm like, why?
Are you kidding me? What an awesome job that would be.
Right? He gets to live at the coast. He probably gets to travel.
Probably make a good money. You're being an underwater welder.
So the idea that everyone needs to go to college, if you have the attitude and aptitude to go to college, you should. You could. But it's okay to develop a trade, a skill. In fact, right now, auto mechanics, a big problem in the automotive repair industry is actually recruiting auto mechanics.
I think most of the high schools got rid of shop class, did they not?
There is not enough, and so these industry groups are actually trying to figure out how to train mechanics.
It's a crazy time we're in right now. I don't want to try to shove everyone to the college, academic four-year university.
Yeah. When there's, right? Reason the construction, new housing starts are so low relative to the economy? Lack of labor. Across the United States.
Instead, we're going $80,000 in debt to get an art history degree.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know how that's going to prepare you for.
We're going to get some nasty letters that people disagreeing us with that everyone should go to college. Not everyone should go to college.
I don't think. Look, our job as financial advisors is to help people making financial mistakes. A huge financial mistake you can do is to go into Hawk, raid your 401k, and destroy your financial security so your kid can go off to a four-year university.
Now, in saying that, if your kid's graduating, I had this discussion with my son and his friends a couple of weeks ago. They're all juniors and seniors in college. He said, what do I do, Mr. McLean? I said, the first thing you do, first job you get, put the maximum into whatever pension plan they have.
Absolutely.
Every dime they allow you to put in. And the reason being, you're not used to living on any money anyway, so...
What's the difference?
You've been broke, yeah. Right? You put 15% of your... Right, John?
All right.
Right, Jasmine?
We need to... We've got people waiting on holds here. We want to get back the phones. If you'd like to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON. That will get you on Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's go to Dallas, Texas. We're talking with Cynthia. Cynthia, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about indexed annuities and life insurance.
Okay.
And my question is, you know, how do you all feel about indexed annuities and life insurance?
Now, are you talking about indexed life insurance or indexed annuities?
Both.
Okay. Did you attend a workshop where they talked about...
Seminar.
How great these are?
No.
Okay. Well, don't.
So, we're not big fans of equity indexed annuities.
In fact, we dislike them a lot.
Yeah.
And the reason is they're expensive.
Highly expensive.
They're complex.
Highly complex.
They lack liquidity.
No liquidity.
They're just awful. So rather than start with a product, tell us what you're trying to achieve, and then we will help you decide what is the best tool to get there.
Well, I have my insurance license.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking to go to work for somebody that sells those.
Got it. What type of license do you have? Is it property and casualty, or is it life insurance?
I have it all.
Okay.
I have it all.
Do you have any securities licenses?
No, I don't.
Yeah. You would want to stay away from this. To sell them, you need to really understand them, and then you've got to buy one yourself and be comfortable with it.
I would agree.
Right?
And but how much commissions do they say you can earn selling equity index annuities?
I'm not real sure.
Okay.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
I wouldn't. I would stay far, far away. I would sell, you know, you could go out and sell term life insurance is fine. You sell property and casualty insurance, fine. But you do not want to sell index annuities or index life insurance. It's complex.
I just think they're garbage products. And I always question why the regulators allow them.
Yeah. So anyway, appreciate the call.
Sorry.
Isn't that again about the regulators?
We question why the regulators allow these products to exist.
Because they're actually have what are called options inside of them, which is technically a security. So they put it in a wrapper that actually acts like an option, right? Because if you tear down the product and you say, how did they build this product? How did the insurance company build this product? They're buying options on an underlying
for
index.
For a very small portion of your premium.
Yes.
Most goes to invest in bonds or loans. Like the building we're in right here, the loan on it is from an insurance company at 4.25%.
That's correct. That is correct.
4.25%. That's what the insurance company is willing to invest their money at. So I don't know what kind of returns they're promising that they might be able to receive in the
on
equity
index annuity.
But
they're not that. So appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, all right. Thank
all right,
you very
Cynthia,
much.
You got our opinion.
It.
You know, it's interesting, Pat. I think these products are damaging. If you think about other industries, I mean, you wouldn't have a tire manufacturer going and producing tires that can cause great harm, physical harm.
That's correct. That's correct.
Or the drug industry is highly regulated because you wouldn't want to have the harm that can be caused.
But these financial products.
I think
products
these are toxic.
Create problems.
Yes.
And yes.
And I think they're.
And that comes from people coming into our office with portfolios filled with indexed annuities and indexed life insurance.
And we see what happens.
And we see what happens.
And how their money's locked up for 10 years, 15 years.
And they say, can you help us? And we say,
we wish we could.
Yes.
But your money's locked up.
It's too late.
Because it's locked up. So. Yeah, they're toxic products. Anyway, we said that at the beginning of the program, we're going to talk about some young adult issues and whatnot. And we've got a fantastic guest on the program today, as typically we have good guests, we don't. But Janet Bodnar is, she's the editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, and Kiplinger's been around a long time. But she is an expert in financial education issues and has a lot of experience with children's financial education. Matter of fact, she is author of a number of books, but one of the books is Raising Money Smart Kids. And so, Janet, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being part of the program. And you've been writing for Kiplinger's for a number of years on personal finance, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
So have you noticed any change in what are the top articles viewed today versus maybe 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, you know, I think it all depends on what's happening in the world.
Okay.
You know, it's very time influenced. For example, after the big market crash of 2007-08, that time people were really worried about where to put their money. That was an issue. And then after that we had the long period of low interest rates and where to get interest, where to get dividends, where to get income was a huge issue. We used to joke here that dividends was the magic word. All we had to do was write a story with the word dividends in the title and people would scoop it up.
Isn't that funny? Oftentimes not paying any attention to the risk of the underlying investment, just focusing on the size of the dividend, right?
I would read articles oftentimes, not picking on Kiplinger's, but oftentimes these dividend articles thinking.
And thinking, did anyone think about the risk in the underlying investment?
Because there's MLPs.
As we like to tell our clients, there's two things you worry about. First thing is return of principal. Do I get my money back? And the second thing is return on principal.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
We keep telling people, look, you know, you don't get greedy here. You have to match your income with your needs. Remember, you know, the higher the return they're promising you, the higher the risk you're taking. And so don't stretch for something that you don't really need. And so anyway, you're right. That's really important.
Well, Kiplinger's, I think, does a fair and balanced job on fair and balanced. I sound like I'm talking about the other
station.
A good job on,
that station where no one works anymore.
That's So you've written both on women issues in finance as well as on children's issues on finance. So with graduation season upon us, what financial advice would you give to someone who's just entering the workplace right now? Maybe right out of high school or maybe right out of college?
Right. Well, I think one big thing is to, well, gee, there are so many things. but one big thing is to look to the future. And this is what young people have very, you know, it's very difficult for them to understand that, you know, they have to start saving for retirement and they're 21 years old and, you know, I'm not going to retire for the next 60 some years, if ever. And, but, you know, what they don't understand is that time is money for someone that age. You're at one of the greatest assets you have is time. And so even if you can only afford to put a small amounts of money right now, that money is going to grow into great gobs of money in the future. And so if you're starting a job where you have access to a 401k plan or other type of employer-sponsored retirement plan, take advantage of it, especially if the employer is going to match what you do because that's free money and you never want to turn down free money. And whatever you do, even, you know, the years between the ages of 20 and 30 are critical because if you start then, that's when you get the biggest jump on how much money you're going to have in the future.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And not only that, it's those disciplines.
It's the discipline.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, there's going to be, throughout your entire life, there's going to be competing interest for your money.
Right.
And your retirement plan never complains. It just sits there. The kids complain about shoes, the car, the vacations. The retirement plan is defenseless. It just sits there. And no one there to defend its needs. So it is a discipline.
Right. No, it's true. And once you get into that habit, you know, that's the habit that you'll have for your lifetime. And, you know, again, the lifetime of your assets. So it's really important to consider that and not just, you know, fritter away the money.
So, Janet, in your book, Raising Money Smart Kids, you speak some about some disciplines and attitudes that kids must have in order to become good at their finances at adulthood. Can you speak on that a bit?
Yeah, if I had to say one really important thing for kids to do, and parents, you need to listen to this too. Kids need to learn to manage money of their own so they are not always coming to you and asking you for things and stuff. And, you know, when they're young, it could be in the form of an allowance. When they get to be teenagers and they have part-time jobs or summer jobs, they need to have responsibilities with that money. It's just not money that they're going to use to, you know, buy extra things. You know, you need to give them certain financial responsibilities. And this goes for younger kids, too. You know, for younger kids, if they like collectibles, they could have the responsibility to buy those collectibles. If they're middle school kids and they like to go out on weekends maybe with their friends to, you know, the mall or, you know, whatever kids like to do, or to get treats or snacks after school, they should have their money to spend on those things. So that, again, we were talking before about, but you know, getting into habits and learning how to discipline yourself with spending. And the only way that kids can learn that is if they have money to manage on their own, and they're not always coming to parents.
Yes.
And parents don't get that; they just don't. They'd rather you know, give things to the kids.
Janet, I'll share a quick story. My son was paying back my 16-year-old.
And you have four children. I have two children.
My youngest is 16. He was paying back his mother but for something he bought on Amazon. It had been delivered to the house. And he was complaining he lost his wallet, so we made him buy a new license, the whole bit. So he was complaining how tapped he was. He goes, I am just absolutely tapped. So I said, I have all this work I need done. I need some bar call this weekend. I will hire you for $10 an hour. And he said, normally you pay more than that. And I said, I know, but you're strapped for cash, so you'll work for less.
And what's your talent? What skills do you bring to this?
I said, you showed your hand. You said you were strapped.
Did you really?
Yes. I ultimately paid him $12, but I said, never let people know you need the money or they'll take advantage of the situation like your dad just did.
Yes, the education for me.
But the good thing was he was willing to do the work, right? Oh. He didn't just blow you off and say, oh, no, you're not paying me enough, so I'm not going to do it.
That's right. And the reality is that money is a byproduct of a job well done.
Right, exactly.
That is what it is. And the earlier a child learns that money just doesn't land on you, that you actually have to encourage it to come to you, the better off they are.
Yeah, exactly. And you probably because of your show and your business, you know that this just does not happen in our world.
It is very difficult. And you see it with adult children constantly coming back to their parents at the age of 30 and 35 and 40 for money. And that didn't start at the age of 30.
Exactly.
Right? That started a lot longer than that.
So we're speaking here with Janet Bodner. She's editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, also author of a number of books, including one, Raising Money Smart Kids, and you can get a link to it on our website. But here's the question I've got for you, Janet. Maybe you've got an answer or not. So I've got two children. They both handle and view money differently. The oldest one, man, as soon as she can touch it, she spends it. And if I agreed to lend her money beforehand, she would spend it in advance. My son, when he was a little kid, I remember he had money. We took him into Toys R Us, and he walked around for an hour and chose not to buy anything, wanted to keep his money instead, right? Very different kids. How much do you think this is nurture versus nature? How much is it taught versus just how we're born?
Well, I think your experience is very common, at least from probably the thousands of parents I've talked with over the years. It's very common within a family to have kids who, react to money in different ways. The same way as they would react to other things, their studies, whether they keep their rooms neat, that sort of thing. So a lot of it is, I think, they're just their personality. I'm not a scientist, of course, but just from, anecdotes like yours, I would say that a lot of it does depend on their personality. If you're a more organized kid in general, you're probably going to be more organized about spending money. But that being said, there's a heck of a lot that you can teach kids. And I know that also from personal experience, what we've just been talking about, learning that, money doesn't grow on trees, that you have to work for money, learning how to manage your own money so that mom and dad aren't going to always be bailing you out. Those things are really important. So the money skills that kids learn at home, you're the first line of education for kids, plus anything that they might be able to learn in school additionally is really going to be helpful. And even just to encourage you, even kids who seem to react differently to money within the same family, and one might be a spender and one might be a saver, if you're giving them certain lessons that you want to teach them, they're going to absorb those lessons. It may be in different ways. Maybe the spender won't learn to save until, he gets to be 25 or 26 years old and, wants to buy a car or, wants to save for a house or something. But the lessons are there. Anything that you give your kids when they're young is going to stick with them when they get older.
I appreciate that. And you wrote a book called Money Smart Women.
Right.
So talk to us a little bit about what you view is the difference between men and women in their investment style.
Go ahead.
It's in 60 seconds.
We have a tendency that we see women as, at least in our firm, is more pragmatic, normally more disciplined in their decision making. And in a husband and wife situation, if the woman isn't comfortable with the concept or the idea, they're not going to invest. It doesn't matter what the man says.
Most of the time.
Most of the time, yes.
In a healthy marriage.
Oh, yes. And like mine. Where I do everything I'm told.
Well, that's really true. What I'm finding, and I'm writing a column on women and money for Kiplinger's, and what I'm finding is that this male-female difference with regard to money really holds true across the board in all sorts of situations. Specific to investing, you're right, that's what we see, or that's what I read about in studies or what I encounter in, the reporting that I do, that, men and women just look at things very differently. Women, and I don't know whether you find this to be true in your practice, maybe you do, they take longer to make decisions, but once they make a decision, they tend to stick with the decision, which is important. They tend to be goal-oriented more than return-oriented. So instead of trying to beat an index or a benchmark, they want to know, am I going to have enough money to send my kids to college? Am I going to have enough money to retire? They tend to be, very goal-oriented. And so those are just a couple of the differences. Plus, they tend to worry because of the longevity issue. Women tend to be the survivors.
That's right.
They really tend to worry about, is my money going to last? Am I going to have enough money? So they have, they come at it with different attitudes and different circumstances, and that really affects their decisions.
I really like the term you use, goal-oriented investing. I like that.
Do you find that to be true with your women clients?
I do, and we are goal-oriented investors, although we never say it quite like that. You try to figure out where you want to be and then how to get there.
Well, money's just a tool.
That's right.
So we try to figure out what it is that is of value in that person's life. What are they trying to accomplish? And then designing things so they have the greatest probability for success.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's not really trying to outperform the S&P 500.
And oftentimes, the biggest impediment to a successful investment is the client themselves.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Which I'm sure you see.
Focused on the wrong things.
Yes.
Well, you've been a real delight. We appreciate you taking some time to be with us, Janet. And again, here at Hanson McLean, we've been Janet Bodner, and she's author of a number of books, as well as a editor at Kiplinger. And you can get links to all of her great stuff at HansonMcLean.com. So just click on there. And thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, Janet.
Thanks. Yeah, and
I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
I did.
You know, it's funny. When my my oldest daughter was in third grade, they did a little parent-teacher conference, and I went in and, well, Jessica's doing great in this and great in this. But she doesn't know her money. That's what the teacher said.
In the third grade.
Yeah. And my wife looked over at me and she said, well, that's ironic because her dad's a financial advisor. And I don't know. Part of it is because it's what I do all day long.
You don't come home and concentrate on it?
And I probably wasn't the best parent either. Although now I have two kids in college and they both essentially have a fixed amount that they receive each month to budget off of. And when they run out, it's like, oh, gee, I'm
really
sorry.
That's how it works.
I mean, every once in a while,
I'll give them a couple.
Something, but. You know, most of them.
And the reason is your wife gives them whatever they ask for.
Kind of. Anyway, this music means we're out of time. Little reminder, we've got workshops, retirement. If you're within a few years of retiring, you're going to want to come in the Bay Area. Four of them in the Denver region. Four of them. Go to HansonMcLean.com for all the details on it. Also, get a podcast of this program. Follow the links on our website, HansonMcLean.com. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.